Praise God. We're talking about miracles around here. Amen. Hallelujah. We got some material to work our way through. It's going to just keep on getting better in Jesus' name. And we are going to see the miraculous manifest in our midst. Amen. That's why we're teaching on miracles. That's why the Lord told Brother Hagin, tell the pastors, teach on miracles. If they'll teach on miracles, I'll confirm with miracles, and the world will come running. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 at the Gate Beautiful, one miracle, that man who was lame from his mother's womb. Peter prayed for that man, and he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And that man, crippled from birth, from the waist down, jumped up, walking and leaping and praising God. Thousands of people, anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people, was Peter saw them coming. Peter knew what to do. I know what to do when they start coming too. I'll just do what Peter did. I'm smart enough to do what Peter did. Jump up and preach the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. And he got thousands of them saved through one miracle. Only takes one miracle. Only takes one miracle. You believe God can perform miracles in our midst? Do you believe He can? He can perform the miraculous in our midst, and the world will come a-running. You know, God's a good God. Amen. Let me just read to you, hallelujah, a couple of verses. I read these to you last week. You just write them down. You don't have to turn there. Exodus chapter 34, I'm going to read to you 5 and 6. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood. Notice it doesn't say floated. And stood with Moses. God is a person. You're created in His image and likeness. He stood on His feet, which are connected to His legs, which are joined to His hips, which are connected to His torso, which is connected to His shoulders, which is connected to His arms, and connected to His neck, and connected to His head. He's a person. The Lord descended in the cloud, and He stood with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed of Himself, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. I'm still hearing about the wrath of God on Cape Cod. I'm not going along with it. God doesn't say, He didn't stand before Moses and say, and the Lord, God, furious, angry, wrathful. It says, and the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's what God says about Himself. Don't you think we should say about God what God says about Himself and not be telling lies on Him? The wrath of God. Woo, we don't believe that lie. I'm going to read to you Ezra chapter 8, verse 22. You can just write it down. Look at it later. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. The hand of the Lord. Whenever you see reference to the hand of the Lord, as we're going to see this morning in the lesson, it's talking about the power of God. Every reference to the hand of God in the Bible is a reference to the power of God. And the Bible says the hand of God, or the power of God, is upon all for good who seek Him. Any God seekers in this place today? Then God's hand is on your life. His power is on your life for good. Now, I said that to you because the Lord put it on my heart. We're going to be going off and talking in the next couple of lessons about the judgment of God. Miracles and judgment. We're talking about miracles. But we can't do that. We can't look at miracles of judgment from the Old and the New Testament until we look at miracles of warning. God would rather warn us than judge us. And I've told you before, earlier on in my Christian walk, I've been warned and I've been judged. Warning's better. I'd rather listen to the warning and not have to be judged. God warns us that we're about to be judged before allowing us to be judged because He doesn't want to judge us any more than we don't want to be judged. But He will allow us to be judged if we won't listen to Him when He's warning us we're about to be judged. Didn't Paul say when he taught the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he was teaching the Corinthians what the Lord had personally taught him about the Lord's table in communion, he said, "For if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. If only we'll judge ourselves." That's 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32 for you note takers, which is all of you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32 says, if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. I'd rather judge myself than have to have God judge me when I'm in error. Amen? Hallelujah. I said to you earlier today, so many mistake time God gives to repent. God gives people weeks. He gives people months. He'll give people years to repent. And I think they mistake that time that God in His mercy, His long-suffering, in His goodness, the time He's given to bring them to repentance, they mistake that as an unwillingness on God's part to judge them. Oh, God's not going to judge me. If He was, He would have by now. Not necessarily so. Amen? I'm going to say it again. Matter of fact, I'm going to say it a couple of times so you can write it down because you really should write it down. This down. If you don't write down anything else today, I would encourage you to write this down. Many mistake time given to repent as an unwillingness on God's part to judge them. Many mistake time given to repent as an unwillingness on God's part to judge them. You know, I'm going to say that again because it could save someone's life. Amen? Many mistake time given to repent as an unwillingness on God's part to judge them or to allow them to be judged. Did you get that? If you didn't get it all, see Barbara after the service. You can copy hers. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, as I said in future lessons, why don't you just jump right on over there to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 12. In future lessons, immediate future, we're going to be looking at some miracles of judgment from the Old and New Testament. So we're going to pave the way for those lessons this morning by first looking at some miracles of warning from the Bible. As I said, God always prefers to warn us before having to judge us because He's a good God. He does not like to have to judge us any more than we like being judged. But He will do it to our benefit. Amen? And for the benefit of His body. He will do it. Amen? So He gives us ample opportunity to repent and hope we'll use wisdom and do just that. But if we refuse to, I'm going to say it again by the Spirit of God for the sake of someone listening by recording. Don't mistake in your immaturity, in your ignorance of Scripture. I said I'm talking to somebody by recording right now. Do not foolishly mistake time God has given you to repent as an unwillingness on His part to judge you, for He will judge you if you refuse to judge yourself. Let's say this together. Say, I ain't no fool. I'll judge myself. God ain't going to have to judge me. In Jesus' name. So this is a good message here this morning. Amen. So we're over here in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Israel's finally getting the king that they wanted. God didn't want them to have a king. Just to give you a little bit what's going on in the narrative that we're going to pick up here. God didn't want them to have a king. They had prophets. They had judges. They had priests. No reading. They had prophets, they had judges, they had priests, they didn't need a king. But like all the nations around them, they felt that they would be better off, more confident in battle if they had a king to lead them in battle. That's why they wanted a king. So God allowed them, in their stubbornness, their insistence, He allowed them to have a king. He worked with them. Amen? They were void of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have the Holy Spirit today. He was accommodating their weakness and their lack of the Holy Spirit by allowing them to have something He didn't want them to have. Amen? Hallelujah. So, He gave them a king. They felt more confident in battle. Plus, they had already told the prophet Samuel, we don't want your boys, Joel and Abiah, leading us. Samuel was old. It was time for him to go to heaven. They didn't want his boys coming up, Joel and Abiah, after him, because they were immoral. They were dishonest. He didn't raise them right. They didn't want them leading them. They wanted a king. When good Christian people continue to produce bad people, not insisting that their children go to church, read the Bible, walk with the Lord, when good people continue to produce bad people, you good Christian people do that all the time. They go to church, they read the Word, they pray, they're faithful in church, but they don't raise their children. You know, Christianity is like democracy. It has to be rebirthed in every generation or it'll die. Amen? When good Christian people, now, you listen to me, people listening by recording, young people getting ready to have families, already building families, you need to know. When good Christian people continue to produce bad people or bad children, not requiring the Word of God of their little lives, we'll never get the world saved. We're defeating the purpose. Christian people, have babies and let the world bring them up for them. Good people producing bad people. We're opposing ourselves when we do something like that. Amen? Hallelujah. That's just a little wisdom. Pastoral counseling. Hallelujah. That's what Samuel did, man. He raised those boys to be bad boys, not good boys. Amen? They're bad boys. And Israel said, we don't want those bad boys leading us. Get us a king. So here, right here, 1 Samuel chapter 12, they got the king in verse 19. Look what Samuel says to Israel to warn them. We're talking about miracles of warning in this session this morning. Amen? And it is going to be good. We're in a place of new anointing, the Lord told us this morning. Amen? This is, we're in a new, fresh oil. We're in a new groove. Fresh oil from heaven is here, if you believe it. Amen? Hallelujah. Something good's about to happen to you as individuals and to this congregation. I told you last week. Oral Roberts used to say that all the time. Something good's about to happen to you. And there was hardly a time that a minister, Pentecostal minister, didn't come up to him after saying that in the service and say, we wish you wouldn't say things like that to people. You're giving them the wrong idea. What, that God's a good God and something good's about to happen if you stand on His Word? Hooey! I wish you wouldn't say that. He'd say, God is a good God. And Pentecostal preachers would come to him after and say, you've got to stop saying that. You're giving people the wrong idea. He's giving people the right idea. God is a good God. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. All goodness is of God, all oppression is of the devil. James 1:17, Jesus' little half-brother, learned it from Jesus, every good and perfect. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, comes down from above, from the Father of lights, which with whom there's no shadow of doubt, nor finish it for me. I, Neither, no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Meaning God's not like a sundial. He doesn't change every second. He's good. Always been good. Always will be good. That's why he warns us before he has to judge us and tells us, judge yourself, and I won't have to judge you. So here we are. Israel's warning Israel. They got their king, but he's going to give them a warning in verse 13. Get anything out of this morning? Now therefore, behold, the king whom you have chosen, and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you, just like you asked. If you will reverence the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. Amen. Keep following the Lord. You'll be blessed. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you. The hand of the Lord means what? Power of God. Every time you see the hand of the Lord in Scripture, it's a reference to His power. His hand or His power shall be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing. Please say great thing. Great. See this great thing which the Lord will now do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? Which it was. He was telling them it's wheat harvest because it never rained and it never thundered during wheat harvest. It didn't happen. And he said, let me remind you, today is wheat harvest. I will now call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, that you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. That's a miracle of warning. I gave you your king against my will. Now, if you'll follow me and he'll follow me, you'll be okay. But you need to know, if you don't, you won't be. And that it's my voice speaking through the prophet, and I'm confirming it with thunder and rain during harvest time, which never happens. That's a miracle of warning. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel, and all the people said to Samuel, pray for us unto the Lord that we not die. For we've added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. We've blown it bad enough now. We've asked for a king. He didn't want to give it to us. He gave it to us. And now he's warning us through thunder and rain at the time of harvest, which never happens. Judge yourselves. Follow your prophet. Follow my commandments and you'll be all right. Step to the left and to the right, you won't be. It's a miracle of warning. Amen. Hallelujah. Samuel called it a great thing back there because it happened during the harvest, which never happened. Amen. Go over there to 1 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to look at some. We're going to look at multiple miracles of warnings at a place called Ashdod. We're going to go through and we're going to see where the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant and ran it about from five major Philistine cities trying to keep it from God. God wanted his Ark back. The Philistines stole it from Israel. He wanted it back. He kept warning them and warning them, I want my ark back. And we're going to look at some miracles of warning that God performed in order to not have to just judge them as a nation and just wipe them out, hoping to bring them to repentance. Amen? You know, God will warn you through supernatural manifestations to bring you to repent. Amen? Don't count on it. When you know you're doing wrong, don't say, God, show me a miracle to prove I'm doing wrong and I'll repent. When the Word says you're wrong, repent. You don't need a miracle. We don't need miracles to confirm what the Word says is right or wrong. We need to just obey the Word. But you can't discount that God would use a supernatural manifestation to bring you to repentance. Maybe he's speaking to somebody today through a dream. Maybe he's spoken to you and warned you in a dream. You're doing something you need to stop doing. Or through a vision. You're doing something I'm telling you to stop doing. You're going to want to listen to him. He's trying to warn you. Look what he did right here in Ashdod and other cities. Very dangerous situation for the Philistines. They're flirting with judgment. They stole the Ark of God. And then they dared to gloat over God's powerlessness to do anything about it. We dare you to judge us, God. You Christians, right here on Cape Cod living with that attitude today. Amen? Well, then shares for them, believing they'll come back and repent. Amen? Look right here. Here we are. Let me see where to pick it up. So they stole the Ark of God's glory from Israel. Okay? They put it in the temple of their false god, Dagon. Let me just tell you, Dagon is a half-fish, half-man god. Dagon means fish god. He was man at the top, if you look up here. From the waist up, he was a man. From the waist down, he is a fish. Sound like the prettiest mermaid? That's where mermaids came from. They're false gods, amen? And God didn't appreciate their gloating over having stole it. We'll begin in verse 1. The Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod, a major Philistine city. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it to the house of Dagon, the fish god, and set it beside their false god. A stupid thing to do. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. God just knocked it over. But he hadn't judged any of the people. He's warning them. When you come out in the morning and you see your fish god on his face, I would encourage repentance. Miracle of warning number one. Apparently an angel came and set him on his face. Didn't even break it. Just laid it on its face supernaturally. Didn't even break in pieces. Okay. They took Dagon, set him in his place again, stood him up. And when they arose early the next morning, behold, Dagon was fallen to the ground again before the Ark of the Lord. Only this time the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold where he fell, and only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Miracle of warning number two. God knocks it over, breaks it into pieces, but didn't judge any of the people yet. He's just trying to tell them, wake up! I want my ark back! You get the message? Okay. Hallelujah. Verse 5, therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod unto this day. You know what they started to do? Instead of repenting and giving the ark, they worship the threshold. They figure something supernatural about the threshold. It's like a pitcher, a baseball pitcher, coming back from the mound to the dugout and jumping over the first baseline because they're superstitious. They worshipped the threshold instead of repenting. Religious-minded people who don't get the message when God is warning them miraculously, you better repent or you're going to be judged. Okay, verse 6. So they didn't pay attention. Here we go. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them. Not all of them, many of them, but not before warning them first, and smote them with emrods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. Does anybody know what emrods are? Hemorrhoids. That's the old spelling for hemorrhoid. Everybody say, ouch. Oh, Lord. I'd rather repent. Amen. He destroyed some of them and smote the remainder of them with hemorrhoids, even Ashdod, all the way down to the beach. Everybody had hemorrhoids. Miracle of warning number 3. Everyone even remotely connected to Ashdod received tumors in their body and hemorrhoids. Verse 7. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us. Get it out of here. His hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. They're seeming to get the message. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, not give it back. Stubborn humanity. Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried unto Gath, another major Philistine city. Take it over there. Let them get the hemorrhoids. They carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against that city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great. And they had hemorrhoids in their secret parts. Miracle of warning number 4. More hemorrhoids. Hallelujah. So what did you talk about in church down there today as you're at lunch today? Hemorrhoids. Hallelujah. This is something Preparation H isn't going to help somebody with either. This is the kind of hemorrhoids that only get cured through repentance. Amen? It's okay to talk that way. Your doctor talk to you that way. Amen? Only your doctor might not say, hemorrhoids, you better repent. He'll give you medication. Therefore, they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. In another city, a third city, it came to pass as the Ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they brought the Ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people and to give us hemorrhoids. They were hearing what was going on. Front page headline. Hemorrhoids from heaven. Is in all the papers. Hallelujah. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the Ark of God of Israel, not give it back yet, and let it go again to its own place, that it slay us not and our people. Oh, here they are saying, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. Let it slay us not and our people, for there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God, what does the hand of God mean in the Bible? The power of God was very heavy there. Miracle of warning number 5. Plague of death on most of Ekron. And the men that died not were smitten with the emrods. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. Miracle of warning number 6. Survivors smitten with hemorrhoids. God wants his ark back. Would you open that Bible for me, please, Barbara, too? Chapter 6 of 1 Samuel, chapter 5. Amen. Let's do this. Let me just say this to you again as you go. To turn over there to 1 Samuel, chapter 6. I wasn't going to go over here, but we are. I was going to not do it for time's sake, but I'm feeling that we should do it. Amen. I'm just going to say again. God was giving these people opportunity to repent. And they mistook it as an unwillingness on his part to judge them. People still do it today. God gives ample opportunity to repent. Go back and do what I told you to do, what you said I told you to do. You knew it was me, and you changed your mind, and you're telling everybody, I changed my mind, I am God, I changed not. Go back and fix it, I'm giving you opportunity to repent. And they mistake it as an unwillingness on his part to allow them to be judged. I want to show you something else in 1 Samuel chapter 6. This is supernatural. Holy Spirit, show me where to go here and how you want to do this. Amen? You know what they did? After all the deaths, the ark being carried city to city, 5 cities, all of them smitten with hemorrhoids, refusing to repent, came up with an idea. Here's what we'll do, because we don't want to give this thing back if this death and these hemorrhoids aren't really judgment. Here's what we're going to do. Well, let's read it right here. Here's what we'll do. Let's just see. We'll kind of agree to give it back, but we want to make sure that this is God. Here's what they came up with, the Philistine counselors. Okay. Verse 6. You there? Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed? They referred back to Egypt, to the Exodus, and said, you know, God was judging them, maybe he's judging us. Let's try this. Now, therefore, make a brand new cart, 2 wheels, and take 2 milk cows. It says milch kind. It means milk cows on which there has come no yoke. A milk cow who's not been broken with a yoke and doesn't know how to pull a cart and won't pull a cart. And tie the cow to the cart. Are you there? And bring their calves home or away from them. Look at me. Please. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take 2 cows who never pulled a yoke before and who are presently nursing calves. A mother cow will not leave her nursing calf willingly. You have to drag her away and she'll fight you. Low in every bit of the way. Digging in the hind legs. They don't want to leave their calves. Okay? You got that? Look down and read. and take the ark of the Lord, put it on the cart, put the jewels of gold, which he returned to him for a trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. You know what the jewels of gold were? Golden hemorrhoids. They made golden hemorrhoids to offer to God. And mice. They were plagued with mice. If you read the whole narrative, the cities were infested with mice until they gave that thing back. So they made little gold jewels. Little hemorrhoids, big hemorrhoids, little mice, and big mice of gold, and put it on the cart. And see in verse 9, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast, on its own, see if the cows will take it back to Beth Shemesh without being encouraged, pulling with the yoke they had not been broken into, taken away from the calves then nursing, see if those cows will go on their own to the coast of Beth Shemesh. Then he hath done us this great evil, if those cows will do that on their own. But if not, then we shall know it's not his hand that smote us. It was just happenstance that all of this happened. Well, look, so the men did so. They took the two milk cows who were nursing calves. They tied them to a cart they had never pulled before. And they shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their golden emeralds. Bob, remind me to get you one of those, would you, sometime? A nice golden... to remind us to always repent when he's warning us. Amen? They laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart with the mice of gold and the images of their emeralds. And the cows took the straight way. They headed right off to Beth Shemesh. This is a miracle of warning. And they went along the highway, lowing for their calves as they went, but not turning aside to the left or to the right. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh to follow and see if they would go. And to make a long story short, they did. For 20 miles, they pulled that cart and they took it right back to Israel. Right back to the Hebrews. Miracle of warning. That's supernatural. Amen? You see what God put up with in them? He didn't want to have to judge them. He's a good God. He didn't want to have to do it, but he will do what he has to do to perform his will in the earth and to bring folks to repentance if they won't judge themselves. I'm going to say it again at the risk of being redundant. Many mistake time, generous, merciful time given to repent as an unwillingness on God's part to allow them to be judged if they won't judge themselves. Amen? It's just a terrible thing to try to walk with God apart from Scripture. It's a horrible lie. This is what Betty said this morning. You cannot walk with God apart from His Word. It's terrible. I know people who have been saved longer than I've been alive. Born again people. And they're the biggest babies that I know in Christianity. They remind me of Baby Huey. Remember Baby Huey? That big, what was he? A big duck or something? Remember Baby Huey, Maurice? What was he? He was a cartoon character. He was a full-grown duck. He was about 10 times as big as all the other ducks. And he wore a bonnet and a big old diaper. Some Christian people remind me of Baby Huey. Try to walk with God apart from His Word. They think they can do anything they want for God, even though it's unscriptural, and think, God knows my heart, He'll honor it. Not necessarily. God's requiring us to learn His Word. That's why Paul said, study and show yourself approved of God. Go over there to Numbers chapter 12. Amen? Present company accepted. I don't think anybody in this room is a Baby Huey, so don't think I'm talking to you, because I'm not. But I do have some folks in mind. Hallelujah. A free CD for anybody who thinks they can guess who they are. Just a little pulpit humor. Don't even do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Just a little joke. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, Paul said, godly sorrow, you're going to Numbers chapter 12 and you're not going to read when you get over there. Amen? Hallelujah. Paul said, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto deliverance, didn't he? When we see people who just blatantly walked right out of the will of God because they decided that God has asked them to do something too difficult for them to do, we pray godly sorrow for them, and God is faithful. He'll put it in their heart. He'll put godly sorrow into their heart. He'll bring them to repentance if we'll just pray for them. Just keep on praying for them. Just keep on praying for them. Thank you, Father God, for godly soul working in that one. Thank you, Father, for godly soul working in this one in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, that you grant them the gift of repentance, that they would judge themselves before you have to judge them in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, God is my witness. And I believe every person in this room knows my heart. I do not want to see one person who has come against this church, this ministry, my marriage, my life, my wife, my character, my credibility. I do not want to see one of them judged. I do not want to see one of them judged. I want mercy for them all. Because I know when I'm wrong, I'm not going to want justice. I'm going to want mercy. And I'm bound to be wrong again. It's not a lack of faith to recognize you're a human being. I'm still learning how to live with my humanity. I don't want my persecutors to be judged. I want God to keep warning them, keep giving them sorrow. Speak to them, Father, through dreams or through visions, through dark speech, through prophecy. However, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, your precious written word, God, talk to them. I don't want them to be judged. I really don't want them to be judged. How about you? Amen? You want to be judged when you're wrong? Or do you want mercy? Okay, we're talking about miracles of warning. You getting anything out of this today? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go over here and we're going to see a miracle of warning to Moses' older sister. Everybody's acquainted with this narrative. Some people say Miriam was upset that Moses married a woman with darker skin than theirs. Other people say she was jealous because Moses gave his father-in-law, Jethro and Hobab, positions of leadership, and they weren't Israelites. I don't know whether it was racism or jealousy, but one thing I do know, if you come against God's chosen leaders, one day judgment will come for it. I said earlier, I'll say it again, payday doesn't come every Thursday with God, but it always comes. You cannot come against God's chosen leaders and think that God's not going to call you to give account. And if you do it in a public forum and you refuse to judge yourself and repent in a public forum, God will judge you in a public forum. Did you hear that? Amen? Look right here. Numbers 12. Verse 1. And Miriam, look up here. So many mistake time given to repent as an unwillingness on God's part to judge them, and it's not true. And Miriam, verse 1, and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Big deal. He liked it, God liked it, it's nobody's business. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not also spoken by us? Where is anointed as he is? Who does he think he is? And the Lord heard it. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That word meek means he was more persecuted than anybody on the earth in his day. That's what that word meek means. Guy suffering, trying to lead these people. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and suddenly to Aaron and Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and floated like Casper the Friendly Ghost. It says he stood. See, he stood on his feet in the door of the tabernacle. He just came down enshrouded in a cloud, but he's a person. And he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I'll speak in a dream. That's characteristic of a prophet's ministry, dreams and visions, revelations of God, all prophets. But my servant Moses is not so. I don't limit myself to dreams and visions with Moses. He's faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently. I'll appear to him, and not in dark speeches, not in parables, in the similitude of the Lord. That means the embodiment of the Lord. I appear to Moses in bodily form, God said. Wherefore then Were you not afraid to speak against this man? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. He was angry, not only for coming against his leader, but for what was going to happen to them. He loved them. Parents, ever get angry at your children because they don't do what you tell them to do, and you love them, you don't want them to get hurt? And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous. Judgment. White as snow. That's a miracle of warning. Could have just snuffed her. And Aaron looked upon Miriam. Behold, she was leprous. She broke covenant with the God of healing. And was stricken with leprosy for coming against God's leader. You can't do it. Everyone say, you just can't do it.
You just can't do it.
Hallelujah. But God in His grace and God in His mercy will warn and warn and warn even those who come against His leadership. Judge yourself before you have to be judged. Oh, I hope somebody gives this CD to certain people on Cape Cod. I truly do. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:31-32, for if you would judge yourself, you will not have to be judged. The reverse application is apparent. If you refuse to judge yourself, you will have to be judged. Oh, I've been warned and I've been judged. Warned is better. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13. Somebody said, that's Old Testament, Pastor. That's the Old Testament. I'm telling you. It's New Testament too. You realize this is Moses' family? God didn't even allow family members to get away with coming against His leadership. I could tell you stories of my own family coming against me and literally paying with their very lives, dying prematurely. Tragic deaths. It happens. I warned them again and again and again. I'm your son and I'm your brother, but I'm a man of God. You can't do this. Everything will change if you don't judge yourself and repent. Nobody would listen. As we see, even with Moses' family, God will not even allow family members to come against His chosen leadership. I'm not saying this boastfully up here today. I'm saying it boldly, but not arrogantly. There is a difference. God's warning people. Everything's different on Cape Cod. Whether people have wakened up to the fact or not. Everything's different. Why? Because you're here, Hamill? Yes, in part. But I'm not the only one. There's other voices coming, and when they do, we'll recognize them, we'll welcome them, and we'll help them. Amen. Everything is different on Cape Cod. The Lord told us 2 weeks ago, was it a Wednesday night service, Maurice? Two people that everybody in the room was acquainted with are going to expire prematurely, die, dead, if they don't repent. Two people, he said, everyone in that room that Wednesday night was acquainted with those two people. If they don't, the word of prophecy came as I was praying. If they don't judge themselves, they're soon to be judged. Acts chapter 13, real quick. We're running out of time here. We're not out of time already. Amen? Nobody's in a hurry this morning, are they? Hallelujah. This is good, because God is good. Amen? We have to hear these things. We're moving from here into miracles of judgment in the Old and New Testaments, but the Lord put it on my heart. First, miracles of warning. Let them know. Let them know. I warn first. He's not a moody, white-robed, puritanical monster hanging over the balcony of heaven waiting to get you. He's a good father. And He's warning those who need to repent. We're all thinking of somebody, but we should all look on the inside too. If there's anything God's telling you to do, and you've been dragging your feet, it's time to do it. If He's been telling you to stop doing something, you've been dragging your feet, because you've been getting away with it for a long time, you best stop doing it, myself included. I can't think of anything that I'm not doing. I can't think of anything I should be doing, but Father, my heart's open. You show me if I'm off base somewhere. Father, I give You my word before these people. I'll fix it. I'll fix it. Hallelujah. I will judge myself. I'm not excluded from judgment just because I'm the pastor. Matter of fact, James chapter 3, 1 says that I'm subject to a stricter form of judgment. Who said that's right? Hallelujah. It's a good thing it was only her. Acts chapter 13, that's right. It's right. It's right. It's right. Some things some people can't say to me. Some things some people can't say to me. That was something Barbara Pichelle could say to me. And I just want you to know that. Why? Because she's earned my trust. Because she's faithful. Faithful! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know her heart. Acts chapter 13. Verse 6, real quick. When they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. It means son of Joshua. And he was a guy who was messing around with familiar spirits, demon spirits. And he was with the deputy of the county. It's like a governor. And his name was Sergius Paulus. He was a prudent man. That word prudent means wise. He had heard about Barnabas and Saul, so he called for them. He heard about the miracles. And he desired to hear them preach the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, that's by Jesus. You know what it actually means? It means wizard the deceiver. Wizard the deceiver. He's a magician. Cunning and sleight of hand. Tricks. He's all... He did. He did magic tricks and made people believe he was powerful. But Sergius Paulus heard about the miracles of healings and the raisings from the dead. He said, I got to hear these dudes. Amen. So Elymas the sorcerer, wizard, the deceiver, withstood Paul and Barnabas, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Probably the deputy was giving him money. He didn't want to lose it. Then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on Elymas and said, Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. That's a miracle of warning. And it's also a miracle of credentials. We're going to talk about miracles as credentials too in the Old and New Testament. There's Paul's credentials as an apostle. We get apostles. Oh, I'm not picking on Cape Cod. I just got sent here. This is my area of authority and responsibility. So I talk about Cape Cod. Just like I talk about Catholics. I'm a Catholic. You can't make fun of Catholics if you're not a Catholic. I can, I'm a Catholic. And this is my area of responsibility. And I can tell you it is time for the false apostles to leave Cape Cod. Too many Brazilians and Portuguese false ministers, false apostles, calling themselves apostle this and apostle that on Cape Cod, and they don't have the credentials like Paul. The working of miracles consistently in operation. When was the last time you heard a Portuguese or a Brazilian pastor? American pastors do it too. I'm just saying there's just a load of them here on Cape Cod calling themselves apostles, and they don't have the credentials. Working of miracles consistently follow the apostle in the Bible. Just like the working of miracles followed Dr. Lester Summerall in a supernatural ability to establish churches such as Dr. Summerall did. In 70 years of ministry, he raised up 2,200 churches in 220 nations. That's 9 nations short of the entire earth. And he did it through signs, wonders, and miracles and casting out unclean spirits. The apostles on Cape Cod don't have these credentials. So they need to stop calling themselves apostles, and if you've been listening to them, you need to stop listening to them. Well, I mean, if they're preaching the word, eat the hay and spit out the sticks. Eat the chicken, spit out the bones. You know what I'm saying? It's always proper for anybody to preach and teach the word. But it's wrong to call yourself an apostle if you haven't had a supernatural conversion experience like Paul did. If you haven't had a supernatural, dramatically supernatural baptism with the Holy Spirit experience such as Paul did. And if you don't have signs, wonders, and miracles following you to where the miracles draw crowds and you're able to raise up churches everywhere you go. And I also must say this about these apostles on Cape Cod. An apostle's ministry is an itinerant roving ministry. Paul never stayed anywhere for more than 2 or 3 years, and he moved on, establishing churches everywhere he went. We got these apostles on the Cape who've been here 12, 14, 16 years and never go anywhere except for vacation. That doesn't count. Okay, that was free. That wasn't in my notes. I'm just talking by the Spirit of the Lord this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. You ought to go on our website, johnhamillministries.org, and see the signs, the characteristics of an apostle's ministry under the heading at the JHM Bible Study Center. Click down on the Holy Spirit today, and you'll see what a true Bible apostle and what a true Bible prophet really is. Amen? Hallelujah. I bet you none of these false apostles on Cape Cod can strike somebody blind for interfering with the work of God. Okay, hallelujah. So, one final example. Go to John chapter 18. We'll look at Jesus' ministry. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not angry with anybody. You understand that, amen? I'm just here to do a job, pilgrim. Maurice, how do you say it? I want all the wagons in a circle. I want all the wagons in a circle. John Wayne, the Duke. Amen? God sends gunslingers into communities. Everybody doesn't like it. But God sends gunslingers into communities to walk right down the middle of Main Street and blow the hell out of all the unbelief in town. True. All the wrong teeth. Listen, I'm not right about everything. I'm a human being. But I have studied, and I continue to study to show myself approved. If it's not Scripture, and I can't give you 2 or 3 confirming verses of Scripture to prove it, I'm not going to preach it. And I'm not going to receive it either. I say to these false apostles on Cape Cod, give me Scripture. Show me the signs, the supernatural, miraculous signs of your calling, and I'll receive your apostolic ministry. But until then, stop hanging the handle on yourself that God hasn't hung on you. Amen? You'll get judged for it. Judge yourself, and you won't have to be judged. How are we doing? Everybody love me still? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked about Yogi Berra the other day. He said that's the problem with popularity. When you're popular, everybody hates you. I don't know if that fit there, but hallelujah. Be popular with God. People aren't going to like you. Who did Betty say that this morning? If you want popularity with God, you're going to have to sacrifice popularity with man. We're not going with the flow. We're going with the Word. God's going to honor it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. New flow in here. New anointing the Holy Spirit told us in prayer this morning. I choose to believe it and receive it. I'm not training myself to not believe. I'm training myself to receive and believe. Here, right here in John chapter 18. You'll like this. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let me just do it this way. What do you got for a Bible here? Are you there in John 18? Have you already read the whole chapter? No reading. You waiting on me? Where am I going? Thank you, Helen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm not going down that church. There's too many ladies down there. It's all women. I say, you're stupid. You're stupid. That's a spirit of stupidity. I'll take all the faith-believing women God will send. I'll pastor a church and nothing but women and me and John and Maurice. Amen? Hallelujah. I will. John chapter 18. Hallelujah. Too many women down there. Yeah, you're intimidated by them because they have faith and you don't. Amen? Bucky boy. You're pastoring a bunch of women down there. I said, you bet I am, and I'm proud of it, too. What's your mother's phone number? You got any sisters? Hallelujah. I know you're not married. Who would marry you? Talk to the pastor that way. Where are we? Thank you, Terry. Hallelujah. I lost my place. Rebuking men who think it's wrong to have all women in church. Hallelujah. It's always been the case, you know. There's always been more women in church than men. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it's not changing. I'm just saying I'm okay with it. Hallelujah. In many ways they are. Hallelujah. We know our wives are, Maurice. Look who they married. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're listening by recording, Maurice said women are smarter. Hallelujah. John chapter 18. We'll close with this. I'll give you a little illustration. We're talking about what? Miracles of warning. Amen. You did well in here today, and I appreciate you sitting patiently. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron. Well, they make it sound so pretty, the brook Kedron, where there was a garden. The Garden of Gethsemane. Doesn't it sound pretty, the brook Kedron? He crossed over into the Garden of Gethsemane. The brook Kedron was a drainage, sewage drain out of the city of Jerusalem, and they could cross over it when it was dry. It's where the sewerage would come out. Jesus came and walked through sewerage to save us. It's God. Came and walked through waste. Where there was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, he knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came together with lanterns and torches and weapons. A band of men would have been 600, a band of Romans, soldiers. Jesus, therefore, keep in mind now there's 600 people here coming after one man. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. All 600. It's like Larry, Moe, and Curly times 200. You ever see the Three Stooges back into each other and fall down? Hallelujah. All 600 fell backwards to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He answered, I've told you I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Now he knocked them. He could have killed them all with one word. He could have said, Die! And all 600 of them would have died. He's God. But he didn't. He said, I am he, and he knocked him down backwards as a miracle of warning and then said, You're just looking for me, let my boys go. Which they did. Miracle of warning. You see, Jesus gave himself, as you know, over to those people. You may close your Bibles if you like. We're going to depart in a moment, but not until I tell you of the time that I was passing out tracts on Las Vegas Boulevard in front of the Holiday Inn Casino. We have had more Holiday Inns in our lives. We pastored a church in Norman, Oklahoma in the Holiday Inn. We're pastoring in the Holiday Inn in Hyannis, Massachusetts. I used to go up to the Holiday Inn on Las Vegas Boulevard when I lived there, went to church there, went to Bible school there for a year and a half. We'd go out and pass out tracts. I like that spot. Holiday Inn Casino, standing out front, not even talking to people. And walking down the street, because you can't just stand there and do it. It's loitering. And I would deliberately not talk to people. Just people come by, just hand them a tract. They don't know if it's not a ticket for the free buffet. They're all just taking it willingly, you know. And then you walk down the street a little bit, and then you turn around, and you pick up the ones they threw on the street, and you give them to somebody else. When they find that it's not a free buffet. When they don't realize it is God's 24/7 free buffet. But they're looking after things in the natural. So I'm just walking in front, up and down, you know. I'd stop and I'd turn and give somebody a truck or the other. And all of a sudden, here come the security guards out of the Holiday Inn Casino. Armed guards. We're in Las Vegas now. Amen. A lot of money changing hands, 24 and 7. And here they came out. This guy and three or four guards with him, he's the head of security. And he's got a big 38 special on his side and flaunting it. And he said, "You, come with me." And I'm with a friend of mine who's also, he's an evangelist now. His name was Al. I won't tell you his last name. He was a guy from Los Angeles, California. He had come over to Vegas to go to the same Bible school that I went to before I transferred over to Rhema Bible Training Center in Oklahoma. "You, come with me now!" And they hustled us and they took us down the alley where the semis go to pick up the trash behind the hotel and put us both up against the wall. And here's him and three or four other, they're all armed. Cut us up against the wall. And he said to me, "Who do you think you are telling people not to come into my casino?" Now, I just told you I hadn't said a word to a living soul. Someone brought him a track and lied to him and said I was out there telling people, "Don't go in there, you'll go to hell." People don't go to hell for gambling. People don't go to hell for smoking. People don't go to hell for committing adultery. People go to hell for rejecting Jesus. That's why you go to hell. "Who do you think you are telling people to not come into my casino?" So he's in front of me, and his three or four Chippendales are behind him there, and we're up against the wall. He's shouting, and he says, "Who do you think you are?" And I said, "Do you," I was just going to say to the guy, "do you really think that I would stand there passing out tracts and do something like that, that lacks integrity?" That's what I was going to say to him. And all I said was, "Do you," and his feet came off the ground. He folded like a pocket knife and was thrown, blasted by the hand of God into the three or four guards behind him. Landed on his rear end, and all of them came behind him and stood him up, put him back up in front of me. They didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. And he said, "Do anything you want, just stay out of my casino." And up the pathway they went and just left us standing there. I opened my mouth. I said, "Do you in the power of God picked him up. Miracle of warning. Folded him at the gut like a pocket knife and threw him into those people. And if I'm not telling you the truth, may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth and may I never preach another sermon again." That's a miracle of warning. Just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's stand up. So many people, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jane, what do you have in mind? Yes, we did. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Let's do this first, and then we always meet to take that offering together. That's all right. We'll do it for you after we do this. Amen? Okay, hallelujah. Let's just worship God. Many mistake time given to repent as an unwillingness on God's part to allow them to be judged. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31 and 32, Paul said, "If you will judge yourself," whenever God is speaking to you concerning an area of error in your life, "you will not have to be judged." That's not a God of wrath. That's a God of long-suffering. That's a God of mercy. That's a God of love. Hallelujah. He's God. Just like Jesus could have wiped those 600 soldiers out, snuffed their lives, but he didn't. He chose to warn them. We're going to be seeing more miracles of warning. Right here on Cape Cod, even as we're soon to see miracles of judgment, miracles as credentials, miracles as spiritual lessons, miracles in the ministry of Jesus. We're going to be teaching more and more and more on miracles. And as we'll believe for miracles, we're going to see miracles. But you need to understand, when people have to be judged because they will not judge themselves, I'm talking here on Cape Cod by the Spirit of God. God's not guilty. Oh, brange seki perota saka parodoste. So judge yourself, says the Spirit of God. Examine yourselves, says the Spirit of God. Judge yourself, and I'll not have to judge you. Judge yourselves, and I'll not have to allow you to be judged. For if you will not judge yourselves, says the Spirit of God, some will be judged by the laws of sowing and reaping, which would be an indirect judgment of God through laws that God Himself has slung in motion. Yes, but that's indirect, the laws of sowing and reaping. Some who refuse to judge themselves will be judged through the laws of sowing and reaping, while others, says the Spirit of God, will have to be judged more directly by my Spirit, where I will judge you, says the Spirit of God. Now I know in my heart, I know in my heart, I'm talking to people by recording. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, you will be judged directly by the Spirit of God, for the hour has come when judgment absolutely must, of necessity, begin in the house of God. And I speak to you by recording, telling you there is someone, more than one, listening to my voice, and you will be judged beyond the laws of sowing and reaping. You will be judged directly by the Spirit of God if you do not judge yourselves. For lifting your hands against His body, for lifting your hand against His leader, for lifting your hand against those who have chosen to obey His word, you will be judged. So judge yourself, says the Spirit of God within my human spirit. Judge yourself. I have to say it again. I have to say it again. For the sake of that one who's listening by recording, judge yourself, and you'll not have to be judged. For if you will not judge yourself, you will be judged. And you won't like that when that happens. Let's lift our hands and worship God. He's such a good God. Such a good God. Prando se kiperate. Such a good God. Let's go out of here today joyfully, knowing that God's not going to just sneak up on us and judge us for no apparent reason, because He's a big old mean goat. He's a loving Father. If you need to change in some area, you don't have to be afraid. If He's talking to you, you know He's talking to you. Just like Betty told us this morning. It's simple. It's simple. You know when you need to bind the devil. You know when the devil's attacking you. And you also know when God's talking to you. If God's talking to you about repenting, you just go ahead and you do that, and you won't have to be judged. Now that's a good word from a good God. Do you believe that? That's a good God. A good word from a good God.